exciting episode in the mental illness sense of the word of the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Calling out there to the listeners and all the fans of the show and people who've been supporting me this entire time. Thank you so very, very much. Your donations are much appreciated. I cannot express just how much I appreciate them and desperately need donations in order to stay on the air here. And it seems whenever I ask, people do appreciate the show enough to donate. So thank you. Again, and I don't know why. Maybe it's because we're probably the only real kind of radio show in New Zealand. Incidentally, the only way we can have this show is thanks to AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the fabulous team there, the Romero boys, who work day after day, just like most of the people in the truth movement. Perhaps they work quite a bit harder and more effectively than most, in order to get the truth of whatever the heck we're talking about out there for people to make up their own minds, their own decisions, and to perhaps avoid copious quantities of enslavement that is all planned and ready for you, like a nice, lovely Gitmo cell or a FEMA camp. They're not summer holidays, ladies and gentlemen. They don't have anything good planned for you. That's why you should support shows like The Vinnie Eastwood Show and networks like AmericanFreedomRadio.com because, well, we're trying to make sure that you don't wind up getting hurried away and exterminated without your knowledge. I was talking to my sister the other day who talked to some German grandparents of an exchange student she once knew. And they said, oh, well, we really don't want to talk about it. She goes, well, you know, I don't really have an opportunity very often to talk to people who actually saw what went down in Germany. And no judgment, no nothing. I just want to know. And they said, well, the Jewish people down the street, they had their own kind of community. We didn't know terribly much about them. We didn't converse with them or interact with them or anything like that. And one day, the district where all the Jews were living was just empty. All the people were just gone. And we had no idea. This is what we don't want to happen to you, ladies and gentlemen. That's why government propaganda needs to be countered at all times. Because if people are unaware, there will be nothing they can do to stop what is planned, whether tyrants or sycophantic scumbags or any other form of scumbaggery, all needs to be exposed because the consequences of ignoring reality will come to you regardless of how greatly you ignore it. It's a very important time that we live in, ladies and gentlemen, a very important time indeed. I have a very special guest. Her name is Pam Killeen, and she just came from a wee thingamadoo with Dr. Paul Connor, and I'd like to actually get her to explain a little bit about that. Pam, welcome to the program, and could you actually plug your website as well?
Oh, it's just my name, pamkillen.com, so it's K-I-L-L-E-N. Yeah, and I'd love to report on what happened here. I live in London, Ontario, Canada, and I think about 70% of our cities here in Ontario are still fluoridated. Next door to us, of course, Quebec, the province of Quebec is down to about 3% fluoridation, and I think a similar statistic in British Columbia. So we're seeing province by province a reduction in fluoride across Canada. It's gradual, and it's taking a lot of work. Because as you're talking about, government propaganda is thick, and you know they keep putting out this message, this mantra, you know, that fluoride is safe and effective. It's safe and effective, yet really nothing could be further from the truth. And so we had a big forum here in London, Ontario, back about 2 years ago. Actually, it was about a year ago where we had Dr. Connett here for the second time, and that was a huge turnout. We had 400 people in our large performance hall at our downtown library, and we were so packed we had to turn people away at the door. So city people here in London were curious. They were coming out to learn about fluoride. Why is there so much controversy? Because everybody, as you noticed, Vinny, they take it for granted, don't they? They really believe the dental officials, and they believe public health that fluoride is quote-unquote safe and effective, but they don't look beyond that mantra to really dig and find out whether or not it's true. So Dr. Paul Conant, as you know, he's written the book, co-authored the book, The Case Against Fluoride, and he's been on this bandwagon now warning people about fluoride for, gosh, well over 10 years now, closer to 15 years, I think. And he spoke in New Zealand, and I'm sure everybody there knows that he's a retired chemistry professor. He has expertise in incineration. And so when he started investigating fluoride as a chemist, he was shocked. He was absolutely shocked, and he was outraged that this chemical was being added to the water, because for many, many years, he himself thought that any anti-fluoridationists were wackos, as he calls us. You know, he thought we were, you know, we were tree huggers, and we'd lost our marbles. And when he's really started digging into the research, he found out that really fluoride does have a very, very, very dark side. And so essentially, as you know, his book breaks it down to the safety, the efficacy, and the ethics of fluoride. And there's nothing safe, there's nothing effective, and there's nothing ethical about fluoride. And yet we have our public health officials out there touting it as being beneficial and being safe, when there really isn't any toxicology study done out there to monitor for the safety of this product, for example. As for the efficacy of the product, you know, the same amount of time we've been fluoridating city water, we've also been brushing our teeth and rinsing our mouths with fluoridated rinses. So there's a confounding variable there to say that it could be potentially helping. But the trouble is, in believing that the ingesting the fluoride is beneficial, the trouble there lies in the fact that even the CDC says that fluoride doesn't work when you take it internally, that if there's any effect at all, it's topical. And as Dr. Conant says emphatically, as soon as the CDC announced that, that should have ended water fluoridation across the board.
But of course it doesn't. And it's the problem, isn't it, Pam, is that when you think logically, when you think like an ethical person, stuff doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. And there's a reason for that. It's because the people who are doing all these things aren't ethical, moral, and decent people, are they? And in that case, a lot of them don't even know what they're talking about, you know? I think of it in very simple terms. If you would go down to your local reservoir and you saw two guys, one in a Haz Chem suit, one in a white coat, pouring rat poison and Prozac into the water supply out of these huge sacks. You go up to them and you go, guys, why do you need a Haz Chem suit? And why are you dumping poisons and psychiatric medication into the water supply? And they go to us, well, refer to the man in the suit who's standing behind them, who's their PR guy. And he says, don't worry, it's good for your teeth. You go, well, hold on, how is rat poison and Prozac good for my teeth? And he goes, look, if you are questioning this, we are somebody wearing a Haz Chem suit, a white lab coat, and a regular suit. We know better than you, so you need to shut up and do precisely what we tell you to do, which is to drink the water and stop questioning. Okay. Well,
let me tell you, this was, I mean, as a comedian, and I know you're a comedian, Vinny, the lighter side of genocide here, what transpired last Wednesday night with our quote-unquote health experts is they started, there were about two or three dentists that showed presentations with these rotting teeth. Now, these are dentists that work in a city that is fluoridated. Why are they showing us their patients with rotting teeth to validate fluoridation? It made absolutely no sense whatsoever. If they wanted to make a case for fluoride, they should have shown us, you know, neighbors or friends or you know, whatever, people with perfect teeth here in London to show that fluoride is working. And they didn't do that. Instead, they showed children with rotting teeth and tried to make the claim that fluoride is good for us and it works. It was a comedy hour. It was crazy.
Yeah, it's like Saturday Fluoride Live.
Exactly. I was sitting beside Dr. Conant, And he was practically falling out of his chair because he said, Pam, these are the pictures they use in cities where they try to make the case to get fluoridation in their city water. Why are we looking at these rotting teeth in a city that has fluoridated water? And how stupid do they think we are?
Yeah, well, isn't it just the fact that they've got total contempt for the public in every way, shape, and form?
Well, this meeting was a fiasco from the get-go. We asked for the meeting. It's a public participation meeting set up under the Civic Works Committee, of course, under the City Council. And what we walked into was a panel of Dr. Peter Cooney, who's the chief dental officer. He's not a toxicologist, and he's up there saying that as a dentist, he knows that fluoride is safe. Yet he's not qualified to say that, and he's under the umbrella of Health Canada. Nobody from Health Canada came that is a toxicologist, so already you know there's a problem. They have the Associate Medical Officer of Health, the Chief Medical Officer of Health from our local health unit. They had the Provincial Medical Officer of Health. I mean, all sitting on a panel together, basically. But do we see a panel representing the anti-fluoride side? No. They knew Dr. Connett was coming from New York.
And then they have the audacity to call us the anti-fluoride lobby.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're all card-carrying lobbyists, aren't we, Vinny?
Oh, man. See, I got paid $50,000 the last time I spoke against fluoride.
Well, we had Dr. Connett come from New York. He got 5 minutes. That's all they gave him. And I was doing a 5-minute talk. As I was approaching the 5-minute mark, I thought, if I go overboard, are they going to throw a gavel at me? What's going to happen? You know, is lightning going to strike me? Because it was all I could do to say what I wanted to say in 5 minutes. But these people, the health experts, they actually in total had the first 2 hours of the evening. And then,
hey, maybe you should have bit them. Show them how strong your unfluoridated teeth are.
Well, it was a joke. After the pro-fluoride people were done, the pro-fluoride people in the audience got up and left, and the media basically was gone. So the only side of the story that was going to be covered, of course, was the pro-fluoride story.
Well, good on you.
you see that actually in New Zealand. Do you see that in New Zealand with news coverage?
Oh, well, kind of, yeah. I just wanted to, before I elaborate on that, the truth about fluoride, final cut with Dr. Paul Connett, Mr. News. Ladies and gentlemen, the truth about fluoride, final cut with Dr. Paul Connett, Mr. News. If you go watch that video, it's an hour and a half long, and Paul Connett, after he saw that, after I made it for him, he said this is the best video anybody has ever made for him in his entire career. Okay, so it's his entire presentation from start to finish, well cut in, edited with the slides and everything. So if you want to get a full background on the situation, go and watch that on my YouTube channel, Mr. News, Guerrilla Media, and just search the videos under fluoride and it should be there. In New Zealand, the coverage is quite interesting, and the instance that I have been talking about a lot more recently has been how the Fluoride Action Network of New Zealand, FANZ, FANZ.org.nz, have managed to lobby well enough, I love the word lobby, to get fluoride out of the water in one of our larger cities, New Plymouth. And they had her and a dentist who obviously was making a lot of money off of treating dental fluorosis, on the news, side by side. He got to say an awful lot more than she did. And it's funny, though, because when they removed the fluoride, they said, well, we still actually have 6 weeks left of fluoride supply in this municipality. So because it's illegal to dump toxic waste in New Zealand, we're going to stop fluoridating in 6 weeks' time until we've put all this poison into the water supply. And they have a guy with a hazmat suit pouring the fluoride in. And people don't make that connection, okay? I mean, when was the last time you needed rubber gloves to brush your teeth?
Yeah.
When was the last time you needed a breathing apparatus to gargle with mouthwash, okay? It just doesn't happen.
No.
If somebody's dumping toxic waste, and that's exactly what this is, it's toxic waste slurry that they get out of what are they called? Some kind of phosphate fertilizer industry when they're mixing up all the stuff down the bottom and all these huge bad fumes start coming up through the chimneys and that sort of stuff. All that crap that gets built up inside the chimneys there gets water sprayed on it, and then it comes back down and they collect it, and it's kind of like a fluoride sort of slurry with a lot of different chemical compounds in it as well. Then they bag it and ship it off to people to dump in their water supply, because it's illegal to dump toxic waste, but once you sell that toxic waste, it stops being classified as such and it becomes a commodity. And it's perfectly legal to dump commodities into people's water supply. And the insanity of showing people's children with the bad teeth and all of that kind of stuff and saying that fluoride will be good, well, excuse me, those kids don't drink water, do they? They drink fizzy drinks. That's why their teeth are in such a bad way. And considering those municipal drinks are all made with municipal water that has fluoride on it anyway, it doesn't make any sense. No.
And I did. I sent you. You haven't seen it yet, but I sent you my talk. We should talk about that when we come back.
We will indeed. Pam Killeen is my guest, ladies and gentlemen. PamKillen.com. That's K-I-L-L-E-N. And we'll be right back after the break talking about fluoride. And there's probably bound to be a lot more to talk about, because we live in a world dominated with utter scumbaggery. And we aim to expose as much as we can. We'll be right back.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in 3 models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Newt Gingrich was a career politician selling access here in Washington, D.C.
The year that he ran for Congress in 1978, he made a grand total of $10,000. By the time he became the Speaker, he made $675,000. By the time he left Congress, he's brought his net worth up to about $7.5 million.
84 ethics complaints while he was Speaker, driven out of the speakership in disgrace.
Having to pay $300,000 for lying, for complete fraud.
And I have lots of things to do. Maybe earn a little bit of money.
Newt Gingrich is also the latest example of how the corrupt revolving door drives Washington.
He made $100 million playing the revolving door game.
A big part of that is just lobbying money. Congress is really bought and sold. They're bought and sold legally.
If you've been Speaker of the House, you're always an insider.
Gingrich received up to $1.8 million from Freddie Mac just before it collapsed.
This guy hasn't got skeletons in his closets. He's got a whole graveyard in there.
It's about serial hypocrisy. This is Sean David Morton, the host of Strange Universe Radio, and I've achieved worldwide fame for my predictions about the stock market and the global economy. Years of economic earthquakes have shaken our confidence in stocks, real estate, currencies, even the stability of nations. Our country teeters on the brink of seeming economic wreck and ruin. Everybody asks me one question: what can I do? Gold's the one investment that preserves and grows real wealth in today's debt-addicted world. Rising government spending and taxes and inflation almost guarantee higher gold prices for years to come. You can protect your family and your future, even if a tidal wave of inflation devalues our dollar. Your first step to safety from the financial storm ahead is to read Swiss America's fantastic new white paper called Remaking Money. It's free when you call 800-289-2646. That's 800-BUY-COIN. Or go to SwissAmerica.com and download the new amazingly cool Swiss America app on iTunes. That's 800-289-BUY-COIN. Call Swiss America, the gold standard.
Listening to the future of talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Your life as it has been is over.
Radio for Humanity on AFR. Listen to the Paradigm Shift. Saturday night, 10 p.m. Central.
Rappers, but I've never been edible. I'm a cracker, not a vegetable, fed to an extraterrestrial. The beat is so electrical, it'll pump your heart ventricles, but I bet you will eject it if I start getting intellectual. I am not yet credible, so until I can say I'm credible.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen,
respectable and professional,
to the show that's all about edible vegetables that are fluoridated. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And Pam and I were talking about brainwashing over the break. Even if you find some of these doofus douchebags, PhD mofos, and you give them video evidence that these people are lying to support fluoride, if you give them written submissions that are done by people that are PhD scholars, have been working in university for till goodness knows when, still they don't even realize what the heck the truth is.
Let me give you an example. Let me give you an example of what happened on Wednesday night. I have a very dear friend, Professor Joe Cummins, and he works with Dr. Maewon Ho from the Institute of Science and Society, and they're doing some fantastic watchdog work over scientific integrity. They're trying to basically get rid of these dirtbags that go out and twist science for their own purposes. Well, anyway, Professor Cummins is a very dear friend of mine. He's a very well-respected geneticist. And he's retired now, so he has a lot of time to do activism, fortunately. And so he agreed to do a presentation at this meeting, and he basically presented research to show that fluoride is toxic to our genes, that it is a genotoxin. And they knew that Professor Cummins was going to be speaking because, of course, they had the lineup of speakers well in advance. So what they did was they got a scientist from our university here in London, Ontario, to get up there and say that fluoride is not a genotoxin, that it is not toxic to our genes. And Professor Cummins was so outraged by this because he said, how could anybody say that fluoride is not a genotoxin when there are literally hundreds of studies to show that it is a genotoxin? Now, I have put this, Professor Cummins, I have put his paper on my website, I have put it on my Facebook page so people have access to this research. But he basically called this fellow from the university a prostitute, because that's what he is. He's essentially a prostitute for the pro-fluoridationist who put him on the speaker list in order to try and neutralize anything that Professor Cummins had to say.
Does he look good in see-through panties and high heels? I'll take that as a no. So he's obviously not a good enough prostitute.
But this is the kind of game that they play. And it's just embarrassing for anybody out there who's declaring any kind of qualifications in this area.
Yeah, well, it's not a game, is it? These people don't get it. They're just like, oh, well, maybe it might threaten my own particular agenda here to be exposed to somebody engaging in scumbaggery. Maybe I'll just lie to everybody. And because I'm in some description of official order position and I have a suit on or something like that and a couple of letters after my name,
I won't have to explain myself too much or produce any evidence to actually support my case. So I'll just go ahead and do that and collect my money from the pro-fluoride lobby afterwards. It'll be fabulous. Because obviously there's no evidence to suggest that fluoride is bad. And of course, I know this very well because I've done no research on the topic. So therefore, I know everything there is to know.
Well, let me tell you why they're holding on to this pro-fluoride stance. And one of the reasons, it's a very, very powerful reason for them to try and hold on to it. And it's because as soon as we show that they've been incompetent on the fluoride issue, now we have more evidence to show that they're incompetent on other issues, such as vaccines, such as the low-fat lie and Canada's food guide, such as even the raw milk stance that they take, that somehow raw milk joined the dark side. You know, so we have all these other issues are issues that I work a lot on, as you know. I mean, I spend a lot of time on these other issues trying to expose these, you know, incompetent bastards for who they are. And you know, as soon as we can show people the fluoride, you know, the fluoride faux pas, then guess what? We're going to show the others very clearly.
Well, it's about a domino stance, right? The problem, as I find, is that these dominoes are actually too far apart for them to actually fall and take others with them.
You think? I don't know.
To a large degree. Because, you know, like, for example, what was his name? Dr. Calhoun from New Zealand, who was the guy who was basically appointed by the New Zealand government to travel around the country and convince everybody that fluoride's a good idea. There's copious amounts of studies to support its safety and efficacy, et cetera, et cetera. When he came out and wrote a quite a large document, and I have read it, coming out and saying, look, I'm sorry, I believed all this mantra and I kept repeating it to other people. And now I fear I may be responsible for goodness knows how much cancer, death, and reduction of IQ. Mm-hmm. I sent that into the Assistant Sinister of Health here. Oh, sorry, the Sinister of Health.
Yes.
I said, you know, it'll take a man of great patriotism who really cares about the people of New Zealand to take this issue seriously and to care about the people more than the backlash from the fluoride lobby. So naturally, he passed it on to the Assistant Sinister of Health, who gave us an email back saying, hey, nah, here's a tiny little bit of evidence from the three falsified studies that have been proven to be fake in this document that I sent him, of course, which he obviously didn't read, saying that fluoride is safe and effective. So it just comes down to the point where they won't even bother looking, they won't even bother listening, and they won't even bother caring. Okay, no. Now, what kind of country do you want if you're run by and your health is determined by people who don't look, don't care, and are paid to do otherwise?
Well, and they're basically basing their decisions on hearsay, that they're really not looking at common sense and digging and doing their due diligence. And this is my, you know, this is why I get so upset with this low-fat lie and Canada's food guide and how they basically go out and say, you know, animal fat and cholesterol joined the dark side when throughout history, we always ate a diet that was high in animal fat. And suddenly, how is it that we can survive on a diet low in animal fat? Well, clearly it's not working for us because look at how sick we are. Over 80% of the population is dying from chronic diseases. And these are chronic diseases that have their basis in malnutrition, essentially. I mean, we live in a first world country here in Canada. We have starving people, millions of starving people in this country. And nobody seems to take into account what we should do to reverse this epidemic of chronic disease by looking at real nutrition, not what Canada's Food Guide says.
Well, how many doctors have training in nutrition these days in the mainstream medical establishment?
Zero.
well, that's why is that surprising then?
It just
comes to the point where, and I think me and James Burns have talked about this a fair amount, and it was just said basically the whole system is fried. What do you do with a computer that's fried? You press the reset button. Okay, mm-hmm. This whole system, whether you're talking about health, politics, electricity, oil. Foods, etc. The whole mess of it is completely messed up. And there's no possibility that it'll write itself because, hey, the people that would allegedly write it for us have been lying to us and deceiving us this whole time, and yet people still have faith in them.
I've done a couple of radio shows recently, one to focus on the media, the other to focus on lobbyists. So what I did was I had a media scientist come on and basically say that the media is beholden to their ads or their sponsors. And so to tell the truth about nutrition, of course, means you're going to step on your sponsor's toes. So the media is not going to tell the truth about all of these garbage foods in our grocery store causing chronic diseases or obesity or tooth decay, where they're just not going to say it because their sponsors would get too pissed off. And then you have the government, who is beholden to lobbyists, of course. And the lobbyists wouldn't want them saying anything about eating less of these junk foods, this garbage, in the middle aisles of a grocery store. So the two entities who can actually fix this mess most effectively, other than, of course, the doctors, would be the media and lobbyists, or the media and the government officials. But they can't tell the truth because of the influencing factors I mentioned. So their hands are tied, and we need more whistleblowers, but they're not going to come forward because obviously they have mortgages, car loans, whatever the case may be. They've got, they're stuck in their position. So it's very rare to see a whistleblower come forward and say, you know, that these people who have responsibilities for the public can't tell us the truth and have to go with the side of the commercial side, basically.
Well, it comes down, as you said, to the media and elected representatives. And first of all, the media is now being replaced by alternative media, so eventually that problem will be solved. The difficulty I find then is actually electing somebody into public office who wouldn't engage in scumbaggery, and they're very hard to find, those people. And if you do find them, the likelihood of them actually being elected and being the kind of person who connotes that kind of trustworthiness to the general public, you know, they wear a suit, they speak with authority, they have all their facts down, they go out to all the political meetings, they have enough money to finance their campaigns with billboards, television ads, all of that kind of stuff. The possibility of that is greatly reduced because often those particular types of people aren't the ones who would, A, get into politics in the first place because they're too busy trying to survive in their businesses and whatnot, and B, even if they did want to get into politics or whatever, the current political paradigm and mainstream media means that they'd probably go into one of the mainstream corrupted parties. So it's a big, multifaceted monster that we have to deal with here. And again, it links into absolutely everything. Fluoride is just one issue, but it's connected one issue, to it.
But they are all tied together. And on that, with the politicians, an interesting observation I made. I was at Queen's Park in Toronto, because we had a rally for raw milk, and we went into the legislature that day, and I only stayed for about 15 minutes just to watch some of the shenanigans going on in there, and there was a politician in the Toronto area who stood up and said, basically an advertisement for vaccines. He said everybody needs to get their vaccines, that they work, that they're effective. And I thought to myself, does this guy have shares in the vaccine industry? Does he have shares in GlaxoSmithKline? What on earth is he doing standing up there and making such an absolute statement? When you do look at the research, you see that they're not effective, that they're not working. Now we have
and also all the diseases that they claim to have cured were virtually had disappeared before vaccines were introduced anyway.
That's right. Infectious diseases basically were almost all eradicated.
Because people started washing their hands.
That's right. And we had flush toilets and we got the horses off the streets and we had central heating, and all of these measures helped us support our immune system, essentially.
But no, it's not 1,000 factors all working together for one goal. It's only one factor. One factor at all. And it was produced by pharmaceutical companies, the godsend of human life.
Yeah, they took all the credit. You know, I mean, and yet, then clearly they're not working. I always say to people, why are we spending billions of dollars on these vaccines when we're getting sicker every single year? Can't we spend that money towards finding out why we're getting infectious diseases, why we're getting chronic diseases? I mean, chronic diseases account for over 80% of our deaths, and infectious diseases account for about 6 or 7% of deaths. Look at the difference between those two numbers. Why are we putting billions of dollars into something that really, I mean, it's almost something we've been able to control?
Well, it's the same deal here in New Zealand, you know. You have a look at the statistics of how many people reported, just the reported ones, and there's probably a heck of a lot more, of deaths related to pharmaceutical drugs and medical mishaps. It's like in the region of like something like 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, something of that nature within a year. And then you have a look at food. And foodborne illnesses, diseases, etc., which the government is now going to be passing draconian legislation, where Monsanto troops, quite literally in the Blackwater Z sense of the word, will be able to enforce this new food bill, prevent people from sharing seeds and all of that kind of stuff, all to keep us safe from, guess how many people died due to foodborne related illnesses? About half a dozen in an entire year, right? So again, it's the media's failure and deliberate failure. Let's not kid ourselves here. They are owned and operated by scumbags. The people that they have working for them, the reporters and whatnot, are idiots. Okay, they're airhead idiots. There is no defense for them. Okay, and believe me, I know. I go up and I talk to these people, you start telling them about vaccines, you start telling them about virtually anything, and not only do they do not know nothing, but they don't want to know either, okay? No. It's like the blind leading the blind out there, Pam.
Yeah, it really is, and that's why people need to do their own due diligence. People have to take control, and you know, like you touched on it earlier, that now that we have the internet, there is a chance for democracy. There's a chance to find the truth out there. Before the internet, it would have been pretty tough. And you know, I know there's a lot of bad stuff on the internet as well. I completely agree with that, but at least people can dig deeply. If they do spend the time to do it, they can find good information. It's just not going to be coming from mainstream media. Mainstream media, remember, is beholden to their advertisers. If they say anything to hurt the sales of their advertisers, you know, they're going to lose a lot of money. So you have to, when you open up a newspaper or listen to the radio, you have to keep that into account when you're listening to the news.
Yeah, well, they don't really have any credibility left, and it's coming to the point now, Pam, when whenever I turn on the mainstream media and watch a little bit of news or something like that, after the story's finished, the same expression comes on my face. It's, what? What? I have no idea what the hell they just said.
Yeah, or what they didn't say, and it's often what they don't say that is even more frightening.
Yeah, what they don't say is usually the thing that you want to hear. And that's why you should listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Not mainstream media. We'll be right back after the break with my very special guest, Pam Killeen from pamkillen.com. K-I-L-L-E-N. Back in a moment.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkeley water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkeley banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
What's up with these sorry politicians? Lots of bark. When it's showtime, whimpering like little shih tzus. You want big cuts. Ron Paul's been screaming it for years. Budget crisis, no problem. Cut $1 trillion year one. That's trillion with a T. Department of Education, gone. Interior, Energy, HUD, Commerce, gone. Later, bureaucrats. That's how Ron Paul rolls. Want to drain the swamp? Ron Paul, do it.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Ron Paul, a visionary who predicted the financial crisis, a leader with a plan to solve it. The Paul Plan? Balance the budget. Cut $1 trillion year one. Eliminate 5 federal bureaucracies. End the foreign wars and nation building. Rein in the Federal Reserve. Pay down the debt. Cut taxes to create jobs. Ron Paul, a plan to restore America now.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Years of economic earthquakes have shaken our confidence in stocks, real estate, currencies, even nations. Gold has become a safe haven, a universally respected investment that preserves and grows wealth in today's debt-addicted world. According to Swiss America, the key to surviving economic earthquakes is maintaining and growing your standard of living. Rising government spending and taxes almost ensure higher gold prices for years to come. The good news? You can protect your family and future, even if the euro crashes and a tidal wave of inflation devalues our dollar. Your first step to safety is to read Swiss America's latest white paper, Remaking Money. It's free when you call today, 800-289-2646, 800-BUYCOIN, or go to SwissAmerica.com, or download the new Swiss America app at iTunes. That's 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646, 800-BUYCOIN. Call Swiss America, the gold standard.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Hi, everybody. I'm Christopher Green. Make sure to tune in to Green Wave Radio every Tuesday and Thursday from 3 to 5 p.m. Central on American Freedom Radio. Hard-hitting and in-your-face, America.
I got some so-called friends. I'll smile right to my face. All when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Who's that? Are you on?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. To the Vinny Eastwood Show. The show that's all about politics and scumbaggery, which is kind of a mix-up because they're sort of intertwined there. And we broadcast 5 days a week, 2 hours a day, and Pam Killeen is my very special guest today. Pam, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. So
I have go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, so what's up next here? Where do you want to go with this? More on fluoride or?
Well, I actually wanted to thank the listeners as well for subscribing to my YouTube channel. Because I've been sitting on the 15th most subscribed reporter of all time in New Zealand for like 4 or 5 months or something like that. And now I'm the 14th. So hopefully we can get in the top 10 soon enough.
Congratulations.
And we have somebody doing the weed cutting outside. I'm not sure if you can hear any of that. But Pam, how long have you actually been doing this sort of alternative thing? And what's your particular background?
Well, basically, I got into this because I was very, very sick for many, many years. I had chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, and multiple chemical sensitivities. And I was basically disabled for about 12 years. And I turned over every stone to try to find out how I got sick and how to recover. And so anything to do with nutrition, the environment, natural health, has been of great interest to me because I had to put it all together in order to be able to solve the mystery behind why I got sick and how I could get better. So, and then as, of course, you know, I recovered with my health, I started doing writing. So I was writing for a health freedom publication in the United States, and I was interviewing a lot of the top people, a lot of the giants in the health freedom world. So I did that for a few years, and then I co-authored my first book with Dr. Mercola. That was the Great Bird Flu Hoax, and of course, the bigger hoax that we just had recently was the swine flu. But that was in 2006 that I co-authored that with Dr. Mercola. And then about a year and a half ago, I came up with another book called Addiction, the Hidden Epidemic. And basically, that's about the food and mood connection and how this low-fat lie is starving our brains. And it's actually leading to our number one health problem, which is substance abuse. And substance abuse is a dirty word. Addiction is a dirty word. And yet, this is the fundamental problem. This is one of the main reasons why we're seeing our healthcare systems implode, is because of the fact that we have this bad mood epidemic going on. And people, in order to medicate themselves, are turning towards substances which are very obviously damaging or even fatal. And it's killing us as a society. So in my last book on addiction, I talk about Aldous Huxley in Brave New World and how he almost basically foreshadowed the situation that we have today in the book in Brave New World, which was written in the 1930s. The drug that they used back in that book, in this fictitious world, was called Soma. Everybody was taking Soma to be happy and docile and robotic-like in what was the consumeristic world. And essentially, that's what's going on today, is that we have people that are essentially drones that are terribly unhappy, you know, terribly depressed, because depression is basically our number one health problem right now, and it's the precursor to developing addiction. And so we have this bad mood epidemic going on, and people are terribly dissatisfied with life and killing themselves by turning to these, either pharmaceutical drugs or street drugs. Doesn't really matter. It can be legal or illegal drugs. Any kind of drug is damaging to the brain. So we have a real serious problem on our hands. And part of what I try to do is tell people, you don't have to rely on drugs. I'm not being puritanical by any stretch of the imagination. But I'm just saying, why is it we have to use drugs to feel happy, to feel focused, to feel motivated, to sleep at night? We should be able to do these things naturally. And, you know, Mother Nature didn't screw up. We screwed up. And we need to figure out how to fix this mess. And going to pharmaceuticals is obviously not the answer.
Well, all drugs seem to be under the control of the pharmaceutical cartels of some description, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, it's the pharmaceuticals have far too much power. And I say to people, when I look around and I see how sick we are as a society, not just physically but mentally, and I look at our children, and about 25% of our children are being diagnosed with mental disorders, and this is frightening because this is not the case when I was a child. So something is terribly, terribly wrong with the situation. But instead, I think what's going to happen, Vinny, I was thinking about this the other day. I said, with so many people collapsing with everything from chronic fatigue to depression, anxiety, you know, having anxiety, terribly crippling anxiety disorders, OCD, all of these problems. You know, a lot of these people can't work. They're disabled. And when they're disabled, of course, they're not going to have a lot of money to go out and spend on all sorts of frivolous things. So as more and more of us drop like flies and are disabled and can't work, how is this system going to be sustainable when all our money is potentially going towards either the government or to the pharmaceutical industry? Because who's going to take care of all these sick people? So if we get sicker and sicker and sicker mentally, then the government is going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, because who's going to take care of all these depressed and chronically fatigued people?
And that's the agenda, basically, to make people completely and utterly dependent on the government. And once people are completely dependent on the government, it means that their life is basically in their hands. And it's more than likely that governments throughout history who have their citizens' life in their hands, and the citizens have no freedom, no guns, no health care, no nothing like that, that they can just puff you out and you're gone.
But here's the thing, is that the depression and, depression, if you just want to just pick on that label itself, is the number one cause of disability. So how, if you're running a corporation, if you're running a company, big or small, how can you sustain yourself with so many people who are depressed and on disability? So obviously this whole system that's going on is going to implode when my phone is ringing off the hook with people who are struggling with mental and mood disorders in general, addiction. I'm doing everything I can to help these people. And I'm fortunate that I can help these people, but I'm only one person. I would love to train 1,000 people in terms of what I can do to help these people, because the program I use is very, very effective and it doesn't cost a lot of money. So I can work with people on welfare and help them get back on their feet again after they get their health back. But very few people are out there with that kind of, you know, they don't have necessarily the training in nutrition that is necessary to be able to turn these people around. There's some very fundamental nutritional laws that have to be obeyed in order to get these people thinking clearly again. And that's just, it's so rare to find this kind of information. By the time people land on my doorstep, they've been doing all these fad diets, taking all these drugs or supplements, and nothing has worked. Absolutely nothing. And they're depleted and they're drained and they don't think anything's going to work because some of these people have been sick for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. It's crazy. Yeah.
People go on that depression diet, don't they? You know, they start eating crap food and then they wonder why they don't feel very good after it.
Well, and the thing is when the biochemistry is a mess, they lose their appetite, so they don't eat. So that just actually puts them in a downhill spiral. And what did we eat when we were mentally healthy? Actually, we ate 3 square meals a day. We didn't have meat phobia. We didn't have butter phobia. We didn't have liver phobia, chicken skin phobia. We ate traditional foods. And when we ate these 3 square meals a day, we were both mentally and physically much, much healthier than we are today. And it just goes down to those that very basic concept. You don't have to follow a fad diet. Fad diets are not proven. There's no legacy to them at all. What you need to do is look at a diet that has been in our human history for generations, and that's the type of diet that you want to follow. And just to give you an example, I mean, I mentioned 3 square meals a day. I'm of Irish and Scottish descent. So when I look at my ancestors and what they would have eaten, I mean, that's essentially what I should be eating. And that's including everything from butter and high-fat cheeses to red meat and fish and seafood and so on. All of these foods are the foods that I know kept my ancestors healthy. There's no guesswork involved.
I think it should be pretty straightforward. If, you know, they say you are what you eat, and if you only need to realize what you're eating, and there was another day ago or something like that, a guy came around here and he had some of that 5 gum or something like that, you know, all the artificially sweetened, artificially colored, etc. And I said to him, look at the stuff on the back here. And he goes, well, I don't know what any of that means. And I go, exactly. If you don't know what is in this, don't put it in your mouth because it can't be good for you.
That's right. If there's a label on it, it's probably a good clue that you shouldn't eat it.
Yeah. It's like if you recognize the things on it, you know, like if it's salt, potatoes, water, etc., then it's fine. If it's multi-flacerical dioxin infinitesimalide or something like that. Or something with more syllables than you'd use,
yeah.
Or something with more syllables that you'd use in the average sentence. Don't put it in your body.
Yeah. How's the raw milk situation in New Zealand? Are you getting more raw milk producers in your area? Because they're growing in droves out here.
I'm not 100% sure. I have been talking to a few people about that who have been thinking recently about becoming part of a raw milk co-op, but under the new food bill, any of that kind of stuff would basically be illegal. You know,
well,
it's just Codex Alimentarius. What they do is they just pass laws that they can't enforce that nobody would abide by. And because nobody thinks that any of this is sane or whatever, they don't get on their hind legs and shout it down and say, look, you guys are lying. You're full of crap and there is no danger here. You're just simply a bunch of corporate scumbags who are going to give exemptions to like Monsanto. But we've come to the end of the road here with you here, Pam. So if you'd like to plug your website one more time, I'd like to thank you very much for spending an hour with us.
Listen, it's always a pleasure, Vinny. My website is pamkilleen.com. It's KILLEN.com. And if you're on Facebook, feel free to friend me on Facebook as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Facebook, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the most wonderful ways of networking with people, particularly if you happen to be a big fan of DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Project Organization, or whatever it's called. It just seems, look, let them watch. Each moment they do, our propaganda works against them.
Yeah, look, I just posed health and nutrition for information. It's all stuff they need to hear.
Yeah, exactly. Listen to what you need to hear and ignore the scumbags who won't listen to you. And you'll probably do all right. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Delete the virus, alert the masses. Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting f***ed by a system that threw them overboard 30 f***ing years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your f***ing retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all.
SwissAmerica.com reports gold prices ended the week with a 4% gain as the U.S. dollar fell on disappointing economic news. Gold last traded at $1,738 and now it's silver, $3,392. Yes, gold is in a price breakout. The next stop is $2,200. Gold prices overcame the last technical resistance this week, confirming the bottom back in December 29th. If you've been waiting for a buying signal, this would be it. What's the difference between classical and modern economics? Classical economics rests on a basic assumption. The God of the Bible does exist, and he's created no man to rule over another by force. The only money system ever authorized in Scripture or Constitution is based on gold. Modern economics, on the other hand, rests on the opposite assumption. The God of the Bible does not exist, or if he does, he's not actively involved in the affairs of men. Smarter men must therefore rule over other men by force and by manipulation of credit, debt, money supply, and interest rates. Read more about it at SwissAmerica.com.
No rules. No rules. No taboo topics. No taboo topics. No fear of doom. No fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, jamming a finger in the face of scumbags and pointing out their scumbaggery for a living. Quite frankly, it needs to be done, because, hey, if you can only make a living out of telling lies to people, I don't think your society's going to go a terribly large amount further, is it? It's the people who are telling the truth, doing hard work, and usually getting a lot of thanks, but very little support for doing all of that. Those are the ones who will actually wind up making the difference and improving people's lives. Those who sit behind a microphone in a nice studio paid for by some giant scumbaggerish overseas corporation and have a list of things that they cannot say and a list of talking points that they have to talk about today, those are the kind of things that will change absolutely nothing because they are the status quo. Anybody who thinks that the status quo is the way things should be is out of their minds. It's just that simple. If you want things to be the way that they already are in perpetuity, you're not in touch with reality because change is the only constant in the universe. You can either play to those rules and try to help the change along in a positive way, or you can swim in denial all you like and you'll wind up being snapped by a denial crocodile. At least that's my thoughts on it. I could be wrong. Maybe it's if you actually do try to change things, that's when you get snapped by a Nile crocodile. Pam Colleen is not here with us now, but we have instead another fabulous lady. Her name's Evelyn Gilbert, coming to us live from New Zealand, who has a background in, shall we say, visual effects and whatnot for movies. But today we're going to be talking about Iran. Welcome, Evelyn.
Thank you for having me, Vinny.
And also, ladies and gentlemen, you can check her out at Aotearoa, a wider perspective.wordpress.com. And she also has a blog on guerrillamedia.co.nz. So, Iran, and there's been a lot of talk about this, Evelyn. I'm sure you've noticed that it reminds me very much of what happened about 10 years ago when they were beating the drums of war, saying that we need to go and get the WMDs off Iraq. They've got nuclear weapons. They've got chemical weapons. Well, of course, they knew that at the time because they sold it to them. I was wondering how Iran has managed to get themselves into this big bust all of a sudden. The only thing that really seems to correlate between U.S. invasions and the Middle East is if a Middle Eastern country decides to stop trading its oil for dollars and instead starts to do it for gold. And that's when they get invaded. Or if they try and change the currency.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with religion. It has nothing to do with terrorism. It has everything to do with oil and the maintenance of the reserve currency, the dollar. And, of course, also it has to do with getting our attention off the collapse of the financial system.
It's hilarious, though. I was watching Bloomberg every now and again. They go, oh, we've turned a corner. We're going to be fine. It just cracks me up, man. Turned the corner.
Well, they're still trying to turn a corner with Greece and Italy, and it turns out that Portugal is now in as bad a state as Greece. And, of course, you know, there is no solution for the financial problems. It's a scam, a financial scam. And the only way they can maintain their hegemony, the empire, is by invading countries that have large amounts of oil in it and that are a threat to the dollar hegemony. And the only reason why we're not in a war at the moment with Iran is because they've run into a few little snakes, such as China and Russia, who are not too happy about the possible intervention in Syria or intervention in Iran on the whole.
Well, I see Iran as, having a very interesting position in the Middle East. I mean, namely, their prime minister or president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, doesn't draw a salary. They have had terrorist attacks inside Iranian territory for several years now, allegedly caused by Al-Qaeda, which, as anybody who's listening to this show for a long time knows, is just another name for the CIA. So it looks like war preparations to me, and regional dominance seems to be the name of the game, controlling the Eurasian area of, you know, all the stands, you know, Pakistan and Kazakhstan, Afghanistan and what have you, as well as the Middle East, like Iraq, where the troops are leaving, has 50 giant permanent U.S. bases, right? And so, well,
yeah,
you know, they're not leaving anytime soon.
No, what's more, they're having drone flights all over Iraq, you know, which is of course a military action. But what is very interesting is that you talk about the CIA, but just 2 weeks ago, news appeared that the Mossad had sort of made themselves to look like CIA agents and had tried to organize terrorist attacks within Iran by Jumdallah, which is like an Al-Qaeda-like terrorist group. So there's also very much a Mossad presence in Iran.
Well, if we're talking about Iran as sort of like this this pivotal World War III type situation, it dawns on me that we need to have a look back through history and how the other world wars got started. First World War, there was the assassination of Franz Ferdinand in Serbia by a member of a little kind of radical society called the Black Hand. Which is, of course, set up by French Secret Service and British intelligence, all had a hand in that. And also at the time, there was the Ottoman Empire, the Tsarist Russians, and, of course, the Kaiser Wilhelm of what was then known as Prussia, now modern Germany, who were all basically intermarried, intermingled, as the nobility still are today, and still had a massive war over it. And it was such a massive war that they vowed to never have one again. And yet, it's the assassination of one person in one position by one person who has connections to the other people who might be wanting to be involved in the war, who might actually benefit from seeing Europe destroyed and being able to keep their empire in place for a little bit longer, you know, like the British have.
Funny enough, that also had to do with the Middle East, because Germany was growing rapidly, industrially, and needed oil, and they wanted to build a train track to Iraq, to Baghdad, which was very much the reason to start the First World War. Also, of course, with false flag attacks, the same as the Second World War. You know, that started with an attack on a Polish attack on a German radio station and the burning of the Reichstag, which were both proven false flag attacks. Every single war, the Vietnam War was the Gulf of Tonkin. So every single major war has been started with false flag attacks. And for those listeners who don't know what a false flag attack is, it is an attack on your own soldiers or your own country in order to get the citizens of that country so angry that they're prepared to go to war. And so it happened. And what worries me greatly is that there are signs that they're trying to set up a false flag attack near the Strait of Hormuz, which, of course, is where Iran has threatened to block the strait. And there are signs that they want to organize a false flag there as well, Vinny.
Wasn't there some old school U.S. vessel called the Enterprise that's like verge on its last legs anyway, that they were planning to blow up?
The USS Enterprise, which is the first nuclear ship, by the way, the first nuclear-powered warship, was bound to be decommissioned this year and has been sent to the Strait of Hormuz as a warning sign to Iran, which begs the question, why would you send an old ship, which is on the verge of being decommissioned, being sent to the Strait of Hormuz in harm's way? What's more, this is not the only ship. They have also sent now the USS Pons. I don't know where they got the name from, but that was the name, which is also supposed to be decommissioned and which is now being built into like a floating command center, as if any of the big warships that are there couldn't serve as a war center. So this is the second ship that they are sending there now. And so they've got 11 warships there, two of which were both going to be decommissioned at the end of this year and are now in harm's way.
So is this, maybe the US needs to up their game a little bit, you know, their threats aren't getting that bad. Like, I mean, it's like, dude, you're developing nuclear weapons and we don't like that. You know what we're going to do? We're going to send two of the crappiest vessels that we've got ever out to deal with you. It's like, oh, I'm so scared. Two crappy vessels that could probably sink before they get here.
Well, the USS Enterprise, of course, is driven by four nuclear stations. It's very polluted. It's very radioactive, and decommissioning a ship like that, of course, is very, very expensive. And what better way to sink it somewhere else where it becomes someone else's problem, and where it can be seen as a reason, you know?
And also, not forgetting that if they did blow it up in the Strait of Hormuz, it would contaminate the entire seaway, wouldn't it?
Yes, but what's more, it would then be able to use nuclear weapons in Iran because you can't prove where it comes from. Because you can always say, well, it's the USS Enterprise, and they did that themselves.
Yeah, and mixed with the depleted uranium dust that's been blowing all over the Northern Hemisphere and increasing birth defects and miscarriages and goodness knows what for how long, on top of that, hey, imagine what would happen to the fishing of Iran if the Strait of Hormuz was contaminated with some massive nuclear reactor ship.
It would starve a lot of people. It would starve a lot of people.
I'm guessing it wouldn't starve them because they'd still keep fishing anyway, because what's the option here? You can either starve to death or you can eat contaminated food and then die of cancer. You know, this is the choice that the international community gives countries these days, isn't it?
Yes. Well, we're not sure, of course, that it's going to happen, because obviously with spreading the word about what is, you know, with these ships going to Iran, we all hope, of course, that the powers that be are going to say, maybe this is not such a hot idea because they're on to us. So I would suggest that people who can subscribe to what I'm saying here try to spread this information as far and wide as they can.
And with the whole Middle East situation, I heard this interesting theory that basically they've had this sort of Bible prophecy in the days for a long, long time saying that the Middle East is going to be the source of the Third World War. And this would come back to the speculation of why Arabs and Muslims have been demonized in the media to such a degree that it's virtually unbelievable. Because they want that Jewish state to be nice and safe and what have you, when the reality is it's not a Jewish state. It doesn't frickin' have a bar mitzvah or celebrate Yom Kippur or anything like that. It's just a straight-up Zionist political ideology that says to the contrary of what Iran is saying. So they quoted the Iranian leader as saying, oh, we want to push Israel into the sea or something like that. Well, the Israelis have said that many, many times, or words to those effect, of the Iranians and the Syrians and the Iraqis and the Saudi Arabians and virtually everybody else in the entire region. They're the only ones there that are psychotic enough to actually say that, right? And,
well,
because we've got a media that's so limp-wristed, people have no idea, and they think, oh, well, if somebody's trying to get nuclear materials of any kind and they happen to have brown skin, they happen to have a beard, happen to wear a turban, then they're obviously dangerous terrorists and we need to sacrifice a million of their people and 50,000 of our troops in order to deal with that problem, that alleged problem that we could only perceive through the media because we can't even locate the entire country on a map.
What's, in fact, Americans often point to Australia as being Iran because they can't find the country. But having said that, what is interesting, of course, is that Ahmadinejad never said we want to wipe Israel off the map. What he said was that the regime, the Zionist regime, being the government, will fade into nothing, which is not the same as aggressively removing it. And it will fade. It will. I mean, they may have a huge nuclear arsenal, but if they attack Iran, even if America helps, China will get involved, Russia will get involved, and it will become a global war, of nuclear war as well. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, which anybody in their right mind would think is a very insane prospect indeed, and would instantly recoil in terror at the prospect of even thinking about invading Iran. And yet the media is like, oh, they're dangerous, we're drumming them up. Drum those drums of war. Drum those drums of war, yeah. Get everybody worked up, yeah. Ooh. We're going to go in with our M4s, yeah. We're going to go in with our Abrams tanks and shoot them Tomahawk missiles. It's going to be good. It's going to be fun. We're going to have depleted uranium babies until the end of time. They're just freaking nuts. If anything, the computer games that are coming out nowadays, like Modern Warfare 3 and the new Battlefield games and all of that kind of stuff, what are they all talking about? Oh, yeah, that's right. Terrorists from Iran blowing stuff up, and we need to go into countries and have black ops and whatever to stop them. And it just seems like prefabricated conditioning to me, as if war with Iran is the only option. Yes, yes, ladies and gentlemen, these people are very dangerous. We need to kill them. We need to sacrifice our own people and contaminate the environment until the end of time. That's the only honest and decent, reasonable thing that we can do.
Well, what's interesting, have you been noticing the stories about Muslims, forced marriage in Wellington, a woman strangled for giving birth to the wrong gender, a female child, and yet, China has 40 million missing babies, missing females. They've all been aborted, and it's like, what are we?
It's like a
about?
Distraction, Point your finger at some place that actually deserves to have the finger pointed at it, as opposed to isolated incidents that you use to demonize an entire country that ain't done nothing to you. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be right back.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
The year 2012 brings an ending and a new beginning to social, political, economic, and geological cycles for America and the world. The living prophecy that we are now voyaging through has many names ascribed to it. The Hopi say it's the closing of the fourth world of destruction, moving into the fifth world of peace. The Maya declare that we enter the fifth world age, the age of the center. All common themes in the array of prophecy that we are processing and purifying all the imbalances of the dying world age. We are are transiting an era founded on duality, and we have turned away from the great spirit, resulting in greed, corruption, blind materialism, and disconnection from each other and Mother Earth. Collectively, we are poised at the brink of a world age rebirth in which we enter new domains of consciousness and manifestation, redeeming all the previous ages. Let's all join together to bring the vision of peace and love into reality, because we are the future, we are the heroes, and that we are who we have been waiting for. This is Sean David Morton, the host of Strange Universe Radio, and I've achieved worldwide fame for my predictions about the stock market and the global economy. Years of economic earthquakes have shaken our confidence in stocks, real estate, currencies, even the stability of nations. Our country teeters on the brink of seeming economic wreck and ruin. Everybody asks me one question: what can I do? Gold's the one investment that preserves and grows real wealth in today's debt-addicted world. Rising government spending and taxes and inflation almost guarantee higher gold prices for years to come. You can protect your family and your future, even if a tidal wave of inflation devalues our dollar. Your first step to safety from the financial storm ahead is to read Swiss America's fantastic new white paper called Remaking Money. It's free when you call 800-289-2646. That's 800-BUY-COIN. Or go to SwissAmerica.com and download the new amazingly cool Swiss America app on iTunes. That's 800-289-BUY-COIN. Call Swiss America, the gold standard.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Your daily dose of conspiracy and comedy is the Vinny Eastwood Show. In a world so full of madness and chaos, don't lose your sense of humor or you'll go friggin' nuts. Weekdays 5 to 7 Central on American Freedom Radio. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand, live from the future. Those of you who are trapped on the other side of the dateline, don't worry, I'm sure you'll catch up eventually. Evelyn Gilbert is my guest, a contributor to Guerrilla Media and, the creator of Aotearoa, A Wider Perspective, which you can click through the links on Guerrilla Media by the site of the deformed baby. And speaking of defamation, the whole slander against virtually any Arab nation that comes through the media is really quite interesting. And we were talking over the break about how Webster Tarpley has been to Syria, and it's just another Libya. You know, government gives people really cheap oil, pays for their electricity bills. They've got like twice the amount of women in university as men, and all of these other really great statistics. And of course, the media says, "Oh, they're an uncivilized society. Let's demonize them, and if that doesn't work, let's bomb them." And I feel pretty strongly about this, is that people should mind their own business. And if they want to get into somebody else's business, they had best be clued up and know what they're actually getting themselves into. Not being able to locate Iran on a world map and thinking that Australia is Iran is one of those warning signs. Having a government that rules that pizza is a vegetable is another one of those signs. Electing a president that appoints Goldman Sachs former employees to virtually every position in his cabinet is another warning sign. Having an economy that is inflated beyond all measure, has more debt than Father Christmas, has copious quantities of inequality all over the show, is another warning sign. If you have an unequal society, an uninformed society, and an indebted society, and a sick society, and a distracted society, all at the same time, war doesn't seem like a priority to me in any way, shape, or stretch of the imagination. Don't you think, Evelyn?
No, I think they've got better things to do, like sort out their own country. Yeah, absolutely. In Iran, for example, there are a few pointers that we're dealing with a much more equal society. Ahmadinejad doesn't travel in a private plane. There was one available, but he said, "Now I'll travel in a normal plane if I need to go elsewhere." There are two women to every male who are studying physics and engineering. And during the Islamic Republic, the amount of places on universities has gone from 100,000 to 2 million. Iranian female inventors top the global list of inventors. So we're not talking about a country that doesn't allow its women to take part in society. It's very much an integrated society. Wages are much more equal. And while their censorship on issues is, of course, a recorded fact, there are 20,000 Jews that live there that are free to have their own synagogues and have a very cordial relationship with the government. So we're talking about a society that actually works and that allows its citizens to live lives, and good lives at that.
Well, so of course we have to bomb them.
I dare say that we should.
It's the only logical choice. I mean, you can't allow people to have an equal, fair society where people are allowed to be educated and whatnot. You know what we should do, Evelyn, is we should manipulate people and use their own ignorance against them by telling them things that aren't true about a country that they know nothing about in order to motivate them to hate those people who they know nothing about, and then be willing to send their own sons and daughters away to die in order to prevent that country from operating as it normally does.
Well, that's how they do it.
We've got what we want then.
Well, it's worth pointing out that last year, rape cases in the United States Army have gone up 30%. That's an awful lot of rape cases. That also shows a great dysfunctionality. If that is accepted, and it is accepted.
Yeah, how much rape happened in the whole of Iran last year? You know, like it's so small and insignificant that it's virtually unheard of to a degree, right? And this is what happens when you have a deeply religious society, particularly a religion like Islam. That I think one of my favorite bits about Islam is that hypocrisy is forbidden.
You know, and usury is also forbidden. That's another reason why they wanted to attack Libya, because usury was forbidden and the state made loans to its citizens without interest and had no debt per capita, which it has now. I can guarantee you that. And it's the same with Iran. One of the reasons why they want to isolate Iran is because they want to destroy the reserve system that Iran has, a locally owned bank, and make it part of the global system, which, as we all know, is not going too well at the moment.
Well, the global system is I feel, I'm not sure how you can describe it. It's like people that are drowning, tipping over the lifeboat in an effort to get into it and drowning everybody with them. That's what the global economy feels like to me, as a sort of an act of desperation so foolish that it would wind up in their own annihilation based upon their reactions to the situation with panic. You know, they're just panicking. And when people are afraid and in a panicky situation, they do really crazy things that wind up doing a heck of a lot more damage than they should have done if they just sat back and thought about it clearly.
Well, I think actually that they know exactly what they're doing. I think that they are destroying our economies by design, and that they are trying to do it without making us aware of what is going on. And I think if there is any panic, it is because they know that we are waking up to the scam that is fiat money.
I can believe that. The whole fiat money system, like in New Zealand, we're having a new Reserve Bank governor position open up, Dr. Alan Bollard, who's seen us through this global recession and depression slash Atlantean type economic crisis system. He's seen us through all this, and now he's getting out, and somebody else is going to come in and take the job. And I found out something very interesting. The government appoints the governor of the Reserve Bank, and that governor alone, not a board of representatives, but that governor alone sets the economic policy for the entire country. Not even the prime minister has that kind of power.
And who will they elect? Especially with John Key as an ex-banker in power.
They can't elect. It's by appointment by the prime minister only. And it's the board of the Reserve Bank who make the recommendations. They give the prime minister a list and the prime minister makes a decision. You know, there's no democracy or accountability within that whatsoever.
What is interesting, Vinny, is that because I read that this morning as well. So you know that on my blog, I address the financial system a lot. And another researcher, Ian Parker, whom I think you've been speaking to as well, he pointed out that John Key, before his election, said that he wanted, or after his election, said that he wanted to modernize the finance system and allow for derivatives trading. Now, I don't know, because this country has been very conservative in its liberation of the banking system. So what I'm wondering is Bollard basically being sidelined because he's quite conservative and prudent in his management, and that they will find someone who is happy to allow that liberation to happen. What it would mean
I think that's actually a very shrewd observation, Evelyn.
Also, the head of the New Zealand trading has just stepped down, and they have put a guy who was in Singapore in the finance world at the top of it of this, and that was also in for a modernization, which is another word for fraudulent scamming, really, when it comes to finance. So I'm wondering what would happen is that we could go towards being able to hedge our debt, which means that we would act just like Greece, Spain, Italy, and all European countries, and which would allow the finance elite to get us into a debt that is absolutely impossible to escape.
That is the goal.
Yes. Yes. That is so. I mean, I only just became aware this morning of the change of guard at the Reserve Bank, but it's well worth watching what happens in the aftermath and what the candidate is going to be. One of the candidates is the chair of the Federal Reserve Board of Directors, who has studied the finance modernization for New Zealand. So it would be very interesting to see who they're gonna appoint as the unelected representative of the Rothschild banks.
Mm. Well, see, it's a real the elite want us in so much debt that they can basically dictate our economic policy. And this is what's happened in Greece. Now the European Union has come out and said, look, one of the solutions to the Greeks' debt crisis is we will now dictate to them what their economic policy is and run their country for them. Okay, which is a proposal that's so insane that the Greeks have just gone, what? Get out of here! And people don't realize that this has been the whole agenda of the European Union and in general globalization as a whole, is to get you in a debt hole, basically, so that they can just throw a rug over it and catch and ensnare all of your people and take control of it, using that debt crisis which they created as the perfect justification for taking control of their nation. And that's what's happening everywhere. You know, you have a look. Where's all this financial criminality coming from? It's coming from the huge international banks, World Bank, IMF, all of these massive big corporate banks who have an inordinate amount of influence over the global economy have basically decided that we don't want to just play finance anymore. We want to own all the politicians. We want to own all the assets of countries. We want to basically control them.
Yeah,
completely.
As the fiat system is, the fiat money system is collapsing. Of course, you have to create such a situation that you will own the real world assets. If you want to stay in power, that is. As the dollar will disappear, you want to have the gold. You want to have Athens. You want to have all the harbors, airports, all the things that will continue to have value. What was interesting is that a couple of years ago, the Shell sold its pump stations here in New Zealand, and they did so because they said New Zealand is a mature nation. That is oil, big oil talk for it's going to collapse, so we don't really need those pumps anymore, because that, you know, they need to be cleaned up, they're polluted. So who did they sell them to? The New Zealand pension fund.
Well, isn't that a surprise?
So, you know, this is how they have been preparing, how long ago they have started to prepare for, you know, for collapsing economies and infrastructures that they didn't want to maintain anymore by selling it off and letting...
We're kind of like a political junkyard policy country now, aren't we? As long as something's been rejected and failed and destroyed other countries elsewhere, New Zealand politicians go, mate, it must be brilliant. Bring it here.
Ugh. Yeah.
So retarded. The fluoride must be working wonders, I think. You know, yes. it gets me really frustrated, Evelyn, to tell you the truth. You just sit here and you watch things get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And it's like, it's not just, you know, every week or something you'll hear some bad news. It's on a daily basis. And you have a look at the mainstream media news and it's just like, there's this person who got murdered, this person who got raped, this person who got kidnapped, this person who got attacked by a dog. None of it actually matters in the least. It's not statistically significant. It doesn't make a difference to anybody else's life hearing about other people getting murdered, raped, and attacked by dogs every day. Does it?
And marrying celebrities is another one.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Ugh. Well, I use the term mudstream media these days because that's all it is. You don't get any news whatsoever, any real news. If you want real news, you have to go to shows like yours. You have to go to blogs like mine. You have to find it on the internet and use discretion in and try to verify everything.
Yeah, exactly. It's just develop some discernment, you know. Don't trust these freaking idiots that have massive cameras, nice-looking microphones, and what have you. Listen to the words that are coming out of their mouth. Have a look at their track record. If they've been full of BS for a long time, it shouldn't be changing anytime soon. We'll be right back after the break. TonyEastwoodShow.com.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
America is in trouble.
Washington is a disgrace.
Government has become too big. It's overtaxing, overspending.
We need to change direction.
We really need change.
We can't afford to make the same mistakes we've made in the past.
Mitt Romney's reputation as a flip-flopper.
He went the other way when he got paid to go the other way.
There is need for economic stimulus.
It's about serial hypocrisy.
This election is about trust.
There's been one true, consistent candidate, and that's Dr. Ron Paul.
Ron Paul has been so consistent from the very beginning.
He seems like a more honest candidate.
He tells the truth about what he believes, whether you like it or not.
He's never once voted for a tax increase, never once voted for an unbalanced budget.
Ron Paul's plan is bold, cuts five departments. It's what we need.
When he says he's going to cut $1 trillion in the first year, I believe it.
If you don't like how things are going, you're tired of politicians, he's something different.
Ron Paul.
Ron Paul.
Ron Paul.
Ron Paul.
Is the one we've been looking for.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Years of economic earthquakes have shaken our confidence in stocks, real estate, currencies, even nations. Gold has become a safe haven, a universally respected investment that preserves and grows wealth in today's debt-addicted world. According to Swiss America, the key to surviving economic earthquakes is maintaining and growing your standard of living. Rising government spending and taxes almost ensure higher gold prices for years to come. The good news? You can protect your family and future, even if the euro crashes and a tidal wave of inflation devalues our dollar. Your first step to safety is to read Swiss America's latest white paper, Remaking Money. It's free when you call today, 800-289-2646, 800-BUYCOIN, or go to SwissAmerica.com, or download the new Swiss America app at iTunes. That's 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646, 800-BUYCOIN. Call Swiss America, the gold standard.
Online, all the time, your gateway to the world.
AFR.
American Freedom Radio.
Give it to them.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out with me, John Zaskoda, on Stranger Advice, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. on American Freedom Radio. Radio.
Must be some kind of way out of here.
To the occupiers, to the big fisty cuff carrying officer thugs. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about violent altercations with police and then getting pepper sprayed in the face for just protesting and expressing freedom of speech. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the most draconian 2 hours in talk radio. Broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island-chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. And it's a wonderful country, isn't it, Ev? Because no matter how far away you are from New Zealand, you're really a lot closer than you think. Oh, have you guys got fluoride in New Zealand? Oh, yes, we do. Oh, have you guys got a vaccine lobby there in New Zealand? Oh, yes, we do. Oh, have you guys got a corrupt government in New Zealand? You betcha. And so, despite the fact that we're just about, you know, thousands of kilometers away from you at this particular point, it's the things we hate that bring us together. And speaking of things we hate, Occupy protests getting knocked around by police. There have been, like 100 arrests in Oakland, I think, not too long ago. I think it might have been yesterday. And this dovetails with the evictions that have happened in Auckland. And we attended a protest, or I did, on Saturday, I think, went out there and they ripped down the fences and retook the park. So that was good. Council put up these big, you know, 6-7 foot fences or whatever in order to let the grass that the occupiers had killed, allegedly, and just to allow it to regrow. And so, of course, there was a protest just for the right to protest, because when you're being evicted for protesting, you know for a fact that your rights are being taken away from you, and if you don't fight back, you'll lose them forever. That's the real concern here that I have with our society, is that people no longer know their rights or stand up to protect them. And that's what Occupy is about. People don't know that the financial criminals are the ones that are truly running the country. That's what Occupy is about. People don't know that the food supplies are poisoned by design. That's what Occupy is about. People don't know that the currency is being devalued specifically so that everybody will have to work harder in perpetuity as a bonded debt slave. That is what Occupy is about. People don't know that their politicians are lying to them endlessly and dangling a carrot in front of them, hoping that they'll get their vote and they'll be able to rip off the country and sell it out to foreign banks and organizations like the WTO through free trade agreements to destroy everything that previous generations have built up. That is Occupy. Don't make any mistakes and think that all these people are just dumb hippie trash or whatever. They don't represent me, etc. They do represent you. They may not look like you. They may not talk like you. But They may not even be employed. Just that case, be that as it may, doesn't mean that they stand for nothing reasonable or decent or good in this world. Because ultimately, it's the people who demonize them, who have jobs, who are unable or unwilling, due to time constraints, financial constraints, all other forms of constraint, to actually go out and be part of the Occupy movement. That is the real chief problem here. These occupiers are there representing those people who simply cannot take the time off work, have to keep paying the bills and whatever for very little reward, just in order to service their own personal debts and to survive. That is the real problem I find with our society, and the reason why most people do not engage in any political activism of any kind. Because they don't have the time, they don't have the inclination. After they get home from work, they've just busted their hump. And the last thing that they want to do is start thinking again. Because New Zealanders in general, and I think this is not entirely dissimilar from the rest of the world, know how to work hard, but they also know how to switch off and relax. And sooner or later, the ability to work hard will not matter anymore. People say that, oh, if you work hard, you'll get ahead. You know, you'll get a good job. You'll get rewarded. I think it's the direct opposite. I think if you work hard, you'll be exploited by somebody who knows for a fact that telling people if they work hard, they'll get a good career is a huge lie. A lie designed to get people obedient and work even harder for you, the business owner, so that you and your mates can profit off of the naivete of your employees. That is what Occupy is about. What do you think, Evelyn?
I think that's all true, and I think it goes even further. You know, with the arrest of .com, something else happened, which we should all pay heed to. Because, of course, apart from the fact that the 1% not only own the finance system and most of the corporations, they also own Hollywood. And they are very much trying to shut down the internet, trying to shut down free access to knowledge. And I happen to think that for most of the 1%, the internet was the biggest mistake they made, that because it basically escaped the military, I remember when I was first on the internet, that was well before whatever interfaces there were, and you had to use Unix to be online, and I would be online with like 6 people, but they were all students from universities, because those were the ones who basically started the internet in Holland. And the amount of knowledge, the amount of interaction, the size of the planet, which just about quartered, because we could all talk with each other. I mean, how many people listen to your show worldwide? I had people coming back from Spain saying, "Whoa, I heard you on the show." And so, you know, this is really truly a global kind of movement. And to arrest someone like .com, whether you like it, whether he's rich or not, or whether he was using pirated material, the fact is that they could arrest him, and he will probably be taken to America. That he will be extradited to America, where he might end up on trial as a terrorist. But that's also what the 99% protest about. And what strikes me as ironic is that most people here think that they are part of the 1%. Most people here think that they are part of the elite. They haven't got a clue what the real elite is like or how much money they really have. It's like everybody here thinks of themselves as temporarily underfinanced millionaires, billionaires. So yes, the Occupy movement very much represents every single one of us except for the 1% or the 1% of the 1%. And it's very important.
The 0.1% of the 1%. It's just kind of like I was watching, I think it was Bloomberg yesterday, and they were going around Russia and interviewing Russian billionaires and whatnot. And I think there's something like 50-plus billionaires that live in Moscow alone, right? And I was just thinking to myself, you know, if you count up all the billionaires that are currently living around the planet, it's several thousand, okay? That's it. Several thousand people who control an inordinate amount, right? And the people who we elect to represent us are merely agents of this so-called 1%. And I feel that if we wanted a future that was worth living in, where we're cared about, where we're actually protected, you know what I mean? It's like you pay the mafia protection money, you get it. You pay protection money to the government and they just, well, they wind up being the ones who you need protection from at the end of the day. And I'm really concerned that the people will not wake up in time. And that's why my point is not really just to wake people up, because the people are either awake or they're not. And they can be woken up. Maybe I'm not the person to do it. Other people can. People try to wake up their friends and family and that sort of thing to our economic reality and to the current false paradigms that we operate upon. And I'm just here to try and keep people sane by providing a little bit of levity to this very dark, dangerous, nasty, horrific situation that we call reality. I'm not trying to escape reality, merely trying to interpret it in a way that won't make me or anybody else go completely insane and get paralyzed with the fear of it. Because once you start being afraid of the system, they've got you. It stops you from thinking, doesn't it, Evelyn?
I find that, you know, I'm actually a bit more hopeful, because I find that when I go to websites and comment, you know, 5 years ago, if I said anything about 9/11 as a false flag attack, I would be trolled off, just about thrown off websites. And now there's actually a lot of other people that are saying, yep, the official story is definitely dodgy. And it seems to, there seems to be a quickening. And I see people much more curious these days. It's like they say, we need to know, otherwise we're not going to survive. And it comes from the strangest directions. It comes from people of all age groups. It comes from young people. It comes from people who are having a pension and who all of a sudden have the time to research things and who are also going online. And it just seems like there is really a mass awakening happening.
And nothing can stop.
I'm actually quite proud to... Huh?
Well, you're actually quite proud, so am I. And nothing can stop an idea whose time has come. And whenever you start to feel depressed or demotivated about this kind of thing, ladies and gentlemen, just bear in mind, we've already won. We're just going through the motions here. So be confident, be proud, and be happy that you're not part of the slave society by hook or by crook. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest has been Evelyn Gilbert. And we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen.